According to court documents recently filed in the U.S., Harvard University has a consistent history of rating Asian-American applicants lower on personality traits such as likability. The filings formed part of a high-profile lawsuit accusing Harvard of discriminating against Asian-Americans. So this is obviously happening in the courts in the U.S., and Harvard being possibly the most famous university in the world, it's shedding some light on big issues in the U.S. when it comes to education. So first of all, guys, let's look at what is this accusation made right now?
Well, according to a Students for Fair Admissions analysis of more than 160,000 applicants who applied for admission over six cycles from 2000 to 2015, Asian Americans scored higher than other race groups on measures like test scores, but fared well less when it came to assessments on their personality. Harvard consistently rated Asian American applicants lower than other races on traits like likability, kindness, and quote unquote, positive personality. And this is coming from The Guardian. And the lawsuit claims that in 2013, Harvard dismantled an internal report about its admissions policies under which acknowledged that discrimination against Asian Americans is pretty prevalent. The report found that Asian Americans would comprise a 43% of admissions if academic qualifications were considered, and 26% when extracurricular activities and personal ratings were considered. Yet at the time the research was conducted, only about 19% of Asian Americans were admitted into the school. Now, what this is saying is that from 1992 to about 2013, the percentage of Asians admitted into Harvard each year was pretty stable. It did not fluctuate at all, which is interesting because during that same time frame at other schools, it fluctuated significantly. So there's a lot of research showing that Asian Americans make up a large percentage of the most qualified applicants. So there's this feeling that a lot of them are not getting selected into schools because perhaps there's a certain quota or a number of them that are too many of them are getting in. So they try to cut off as many that will be accepted. And so there's a lot of flack going on in the States right now.
That's very interesting. And you covered a lot of interesting information there, Tony. One thing that blows my mind as a Chinese person that lives in China, far away from where this is all happening, is that the positive personality term, or we can consider it as a criterion, and that's so powerful when it comes to determining whether a kid gets admitted or not. For us, it's simple. Who gets the top score gets into the top school. But what do you think about this, Huangshan? The personality is being
sort of a vital factor.
Yeah, it's being evaluated. Yeah.
Actually, I do understand why those Asian Americans are very angry about this racial quota, because I think it's a time to break the stereotype of Asian students, because many Americans think Asian students are really hardworking, they get really high scores, but they lack some social skills, or they're social awkward or something. And also if we take a look at the whole person reveals, like, it includes considerations of course, racial and non-racial factors, such as your socioeconomic background, in addition to grades and also test scores, recommendations, extracurricular activities, and personal qualities. I think the previous, factors are easy to define. Those are concrete facts, and you have it or you don't have it. But for personality, it's hard to define it. Different people have different opinions of a person's personality. And I think the reason why some Asian students are angry about this case was because they were turned down when the employees in the university even didn't contact them or didn't have the interview with them. And they gave them a very bad remark on your personality. At least you need to talk to them. And I think, personality is hard to define. So that's the reason why people think it's a discrimination. Because maybe for a long history, I think people think Asian Americans lack of some social skills.
And, you know, adding to that as well, comparing Harvard to, you know, some other highly competitive schools that don't use the same criteria for admission, for example, like the California Institute of Technology, you know, has seen Asian American admittees grow from 25% in 1992 to about 43% in 2013. So it's clear that if this criteria isn't used, you could possibly see a lot more, you know, Asian Americans in some of these Ivy League universities. But clearly this cutoff or flat rate is prevalent through all the Ivy League schools. And indeed, during that time, the percentage has been between 12 to 18% across the board. Mm-hmm. So it seems that there's definitely some quota going on here. And I could definitely see how, I mean, if I was Asian American and I was applying, I would be a bit upset about this as well.
Mm. It's interesting that we see different universities have adopted a different criteria to take in students. And it seems like the Ivy League schools, they are looking certainly at race. And this is one of the things that they possibly want to keep a so-called balance of some sort. Like in Harvard, we see that in the past, you know, it could be like 12% or something like that, but recently it's been 22% of Asians that they've taken in. And I think it's important also to look at other races as well. I mean, what about Hispanics, African Americans, and also white people? But there's also another fundamental discussion that has to be made here, I suppose, is that how come and why is race such a big factor when it comes to deciding who gets to enroll into the top educational institution in the U.S.?
Well, that's a really good question, and I think that really traces back to the history or the conception of the United States. And it's very clear, and I believe apparent to a lot of people, that the United States has had a long history of discrimination and racial injustice in the country. And these policies come for a reason. And I believe that, though it's it's very uncomfortable for some Americans to adopt this policy of, say, affirmative action or judging someone based off of other factors besides their test scores. It's also very important because your socioeconomical background can heavily influence your success in academics. I was reading on the American Psychological Association, and that your socioeconomical status just doesn't comprise of your income, but it's also your educational attainment, your financial security, and your subjective perceptions of social status and social class. So it encompasses the quality of life and opportunities and privileges that are afforded to you. So there's a lot of things to consider here. And research indicates that children from low socioeconomical households and communities develop academic skills slower than children from higher groups. And also, it's related to poor cognitive development, language, memory, socio-emotional processing, and consequently poor income and health in adulthood. So, and this is science, and there needs to be something put into place to help people that are from different backgrounds. And it's very clear in the history of the country that certain groups have been targeted to be less successful than others. So as a result, these groups need a little bit more in terms of balance.
Mm. I understand that this affirmative action policy aims to fight the past inequalities. Mm. That is, I definitely understand it's a painful history for some minority groups in the U.S. And I would be thinking about African Americans or the Aboriginal people that originally lived, occupied the continent. And then, you know,
and also women. There's a lot of things that I believe that a lot of people have the misconception that affirmative action, or at least the college admission is only concerned about race. There's quite a few things. There's race, ethnicity, there's native language, religion, social class, geographical origin, parental attendance of the university in question, and gender.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, all of these issues were a factor. And, mm-hmm. you know, women had it really hard at the beginning mm-hmm. of the 20th century. In addition to even Chinese people, there was different immigration acts mm-hmm. to prevent Asian immigration out of fear of stealing, quote unquote, jobs. Mm-hmm. And of course, you had other litigations to prevent a lot of, you know, different people from different groups from getting into schools. I mean, for example, African Americans weren't even allowed into Ivy League schools until the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this history that's there. So that, and I feel that that's why these policies and this whole picture analysis that these schools do, I believe that it serves a lot of people that are underrepresented in the country.
Mm. I have just a quick question that's a follow-up to what you just said, Tony. Mm. Would you say, I think it makes a lot of sense for me, and it's enlightening in many ways. Why can't affirmative action then be simplified in a way? I suppose that is, why can't you just look at economic background then? If you're mm-hmm. from a poorer family, mm-hmm. regardless of what race you're from, then, and you are super bright, you've proved to do, perform very well academic-wise, and you're also a volunteer, a top athlete, and you check all those boxes, then is that something that could be considered, or is that also controversial, or is that maybe just not fitting for the American discourse?
Well, you mentioned quite a few. You mentioned athletics.
Yeah, so my main question is, why can't economics be the factor here? Because it encompasses the main thing here, I suppose, is that when people are from a very underrepresented or disfranchised background,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they need some help when it comes to getting into university.
Absolutely. And that what I mentioned earlier in terms of your background having a correlation with your success.
Mm-hmm.
If economics are the only thing that's considered, it would definitely cut out a significant amount of people that are accepted into these schools, and only certain people from maybe, you know, higher socioeconomical statuses will be allowed in. And that's typically people who have a background in education. You know, their family has gone to college and they have higher income, so the children can just focus on school. They score higher on tests. But the rest of the population who perhaps doesn't have this background, it would be really difficult for them mm-hmm. or almost impossible for some groups to be able to be entered into these mm-hmm. schools. So, and that's why I believe that a lot of these Ivy League schools are applying a bit more of a rounded picture.
Mm-hmm.
In that way they can judge a person not just based off of their scores, but how much time have they put into their career. For example, if they're going in as if they want to be a doctor, have they done any time in the hospital? I mean, how much volunteer time have they done?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so it creates a picture of who this person actually is. For and people who tend to spend a lot of time mainly focusing on studies, they don't really have a lot of experience, and most, not all, mm-hmm. this is a generalization, but, you know, people don't have a lot of experience with dealing with people or, mm-hmm. you know, and so they may have some social skills that may need more development. So there's just a lot more being examined here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but for an educational institution, mm-hmm. I can understand how people feel that it should be based solely off of your scores.
Mm. Well, that seems to be part of Harvard's defense.
Mm.
Huang Shan, after reviewing the information that is available at this moment, since, you know, this is an ongoing trial, do you think that Harvard holds water in coming up with a strong defense and saying that we're not discriminating against anybody?
I think it depends on how people value this case. And I think the reason why Harvard have many universities in the States like adopted the affirmative action is because they're trying to safeguard the equality in the society. And we always call America like a melting pot for all people from all kinds of family backgrounds and the social backgrounds. And I think the reason why they only take your economic background into consideration, they also, I think it's because they want to maintain the diversity for the racial groups, like in just trying to make our university is very inclusive for all like racial groups. I think that's a reason why some Asian students are a little bit upset, because I think it's in our Asian culture, we value scores very much. And when you see other ethnic groups, their scores are less than us, but they got being enrolled into university, but I couldn't, then you will feel upset. And maybe that's the reason. But if you take in a broader picture, maybe the other scores are also important. But yeah, I think that's a very important thing. And also, I think... Is it? Because I want to ask Tony a question. Because we know some majors that requires like personalities and your social skills. But there are other majors. Maybe social skills is not that important. So do you think like it's a thing that important for all the universities? Or you can depend on the majors? Like some can take personality into account. But some other majors, you don't need to care about that. Just care about your academic scores and your excellence or your talents in this major.
Well, I think that most schools in the U.S. apply the same principle, but some schools take it to different levels. As we talked about earlier, the California Institute or Caltech, they accept people. They're a very selective school, and their biggest criteria mainly are scores and how well you score. So at a school like this, your personality and likability, quote unquote, is not necessarily as important. It's more on how high you can score. And as we spoke about earlier, the Asian admission there is 43%. But for certain schools, apparently the Ivy League schools, the ones that are a bit more popular and that people from all over the world want to get into, I feel that it's a bit of a double-edged sword for them if they only allow people to be admitted based off of their grades. Then you have a certain group that comes in, and then you're going to have others that are going to feel left out or, you know, feel like they're undermined because the school's not looking at some of the other trials and, you know, qualities that they have. So you're going to have problems from, you know, the national people of the country. And then on this side, on the side that we're dealing with, you know, when there's a certain cutoff, then you have people also feeling, you know, discriminated against. So it just seems like it's a really tough position to be in for the institution.
Yeah, it is a tough thing. And we're ultimately talking about education opportunities for people in a society that's multicultural. And education is... It's an interesting thing. It's a fickle beast in a way. Because when you look at the makeup of the population in terms of race, then it's one story, but you can't directly, proportionally reflect that to education per se, because you need to take a test and prove that you are qualified for which kind of school. And of course, here we're talking about the very cream of the crop, the best schools in the world often, and the best facilities and just the top batch of people, and that becomes your classmates. And this is certainly, for a lot of people, that chance to really turn your life around and move up the social ladder. And so I can totally understand this is a contested issue, not only in the U.S., but here in China as well. When we talk about the Gaokao emissions, or the that's also called the university entrance exam in China, every year there's so much controversy that comes out of it. And we are not so multicultural in the sense of racial makeup, and it is difficult enough. And actually, affirmative action happens here in China as well.
Yes, I heard many stories about when the China's like top-notch universities, they enroll some students. The scores for people from different cities and also with different nationalities are different. So that's the fourth time people are criticizing those Chinese students. They're Chinese Americans, actually, but most of them are anchor babies in the States, and they change a passport. They received education in China from primary school to high school. But when they join the entrance examination, they use a U.S. passport. Their scores are lower than the Chinese students.
Yeah, much lower. Yeah. And that becomes something that a lot of Chinese homegrown kids are very angry about. And because here, Tony, this is an interesting thing, because if you give preferential policy to whoever, a small group of people, and we're looking at finite amount of resources, there's bound to be some people that feel, hey, why did those people qualify? And you're taking chances off me. So what do you think about this? I mean, with the Asian Americans in this lawsuit, actually, let's say if they win, would it mean the end of affirmative action?
Well, that's a lot of people are saying that this is actually a fight, a much bigger battle. Mm-hmm. And the person or the individual who's running or in the front of this lawsuit is... well, as an individual named Edward Bloom, he's been a longtime foe of affirmative action, and he was a significant player in the 2013 Supreme Court case that struck down portions of the voting rights, the acts that was passed in 1965, and that increased voting restrictions for Americans, and that actually disproportionately affected racial minorities. So this individual, as described by one Asian American civil rights group, mentioned that he was an anti-race conscious admissions activist, and that this whole situation with the admissions at Harvard is just a thinly veiled attempt to use Asian Americans to destroy racial diversity on every campus across the country. So if this case is successful, then there would definitely be a reevaluation of admissions throughout all the schools in the country, and then you could see a lot less diversity in the schools, and it would be very rigid on who would be allowed into the campuses. And I think that would be a really big event, and I think a lot more people would be unhappy about that.
That's really interesting, because one case, on the surface of it, it's I think a big issue already. Asian Americans, if they're being discriminated by some top universities in the U.S. and including, Harvard that we're talking about here. But behind that, it could be a bigger, even bigger issue.
Oh, absolutely. In the past, there's always one court case that makes a huge historical change in the country. So it's definitely something that everyone needs to focus on.
Yeah, definitely. And there's also another consideration that maybe we have gotten it all wrong about discrimination. Look at legacy admission in Harvard. Those people that get preferential treatment because of their family heritage.
That's right.
And that makes up a huge amount of people in Harvard's admission too. So, there's that too.
Yeah,
you're listening to Rant Table. We'll be back after this short break.